Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, we will study the second half of chapter 15 of the book of Acts. And chapter 15 is actually one of the most important chapters in the book of Acts. Why? It gives us an idea about how the first church, or the church of the apostles, resolved a conflict. When there is a conflict, how do you resolve a conflict? Because there was a conflict about how to receive the converts from the Gentiles. There were two opinions. One opinion, which actually was supported by the Judaizers, people who want the converts to accept Judaism before becoming Christian. This was one opinion. And the people who are supporting this opinion, we call them the Judaizers. And of course, they were Christian, but from Jewish background. And they insisted that unless you circumcise and keep all the traditions of the Jewish law, you cannot be saved. But there was another actually group, and this group actually said, the Lord Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled the law on our behalf. That's why we don't need to keep all the Mosaic law. Especially, there are many commandments just as simple, like circumcision. We cannot be saved by circumcision, but circumcision actually is a symbol of baptism. So now actually, if we are baptized, there is no need to be circumcised. There are sacrifices. Sacrifices are symbol of the sacrifice of Christ, the communion. So now, if we partake of his body and his blood, there is no need to offer all the sacrifices. So there was a dispute and a conflict and a division. So how they resolved this conflict? Actually, they resolved the conflict through the council. They went to Jerusalem and all the apostles gathered together. And they discussed the issue. And everybody took his opinion. And the council usually, we believe it is led and inspired, as we see tonight, by the Holy Spirit. Based on the promise of the Lord, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be among them. So, after they explained the problem, and everybody said his opinion, and supported his opinion by verses from the scripture, they came to conclusion. And who presided over this council? Actually, the local bishop of the church. The council was in Jerusalem. And who was the bishop of Jerusalem? St. James. So St. James actually presided over the council. Although St. Peter attended the council, but St. Peter did not preside over the council, but it was St. James. Which actually is another a very important doctrine, that there is no primacy among the apostles, because the Catholic Church believes in the primacy of Peter. If actually this was true, then we should expect St. Peter to preside over the council. But even in Acts 15, we saw that St. James presided over the council. And they came to conclusion that no, we don't need to keep all this Jewish tradition. And actually, they made a decision to send to the Gentiles to tell them, we don't want to burden you with any more burden. It's enough to keep yourself from worshiping idols, from sexual immorality, from blood, and from transgression, and if you do this, actually, you are okay. And they decided to send two messengers from Jerusalem to take them with Paul and Barnabas to the church in Antioch. Because this dispute started in Antioch. So when it started in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem. And they met with the apostles. And they did a council. And this is called actually the Council of Jerusalem. Council of Jerusalem. And this was actually the first council. And from this idea, now we have, you know, the three ecumenical councils. And now we have actually also the Holy Synod meeting, which actually is considered like a council from all the bishops, as we read in Acts chapter 15. So after they decided on what is required from the Gentiles in the Council of Jerusalem, the apostles and the elders and the Holy Church agreed to take the letter, like the resolution of the council, the decree of the council, agreed to take the letter and to have two persons who were prophets from Jerusalem, Judas and Silas, to accompany St. Paul and Barnabas to confirm it is authenticity. Let some people cast doubt on the letter and say, no, this is not the original letter. So they sent two a prophet from Jerusalem to go with Paul and Barnabas to Antioch to tell them this is the decree of the Council of Jerusalem. The letter, its council was approved by the Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts chapter 15, verse 28. It has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this decision is the decision of the Holy Spirit. And when it was delivered, it was joyfully received by the brethren in Antioch. Judas and Silas, while they were staying in Antioch, they did exhortation, especially our prophets. Prophet means a person who is carrying message from God and delivering this message to the people. And it was very important before, you know, the writing of the New Testament, God to send the prophet. That's why we read about prophets in the book Acts. So that New Testament was not written yet. So God sent his messages through some prophets. And Judas and Silas, both of them were prophets. He offered their exhortation and actually strengthened the brethren before Judas returned to Jerusalem. And after he spent some time in Antioch, Judas decided to return back to Jerusalem, but Silas continued in Antioch. And Silas did not return back to Jerusalem. And after some time of teaching and teaching in Antioch, St. Paul wanted to visit the brethren in the cities he had traveled to on his first missionary trip. And you know, St. Paul did three missionary trips. The Council of Jerusalem was there after the first missionary trip. Again, he did three missionary trips. It was after the first missionary trip they did the Council of Jerusalem. And what was the center of mission at that time? The center of mission was Antioch. So each missionary trip starts from Antioch and ends in Antioch. So what each one of these three missionary trips started in Antioch and ended in Antioch. So after he ended the first missionary trip, he went to Jerusalem in order to resolve this conflict. And after it was resolved, then St. Paul returned back to Antioch and said, let us go and visit every city. And this is the idea of visitation. You know, like a priest visits his congregation. And after he finished visiting all the families, he will say, let me go another round, and another round, and so on. In the same way, you know, the bishop visits all the churches. And after he finished visiting all the churches, he will go another round. From where we learned this, actually from St. Paul. He did the first missionary trip, and after he finished the mission trip, he did the second one, and the third one, but after the third one, he was martyred. That's why he did only three missionary trips. And the first missionary trip was St. Paul accompanied by St. Barnabas. So when he started to do the second missionary trip, a conflict, contention happened between Paul and Barnabas. And we learn from here that all of us, we are human beings. So even great apostles like Paul and Barnabas, we can see them fighting together. Why they fought together? Actually, it was because of St. Mark. St. Mark, the evangelist who preached Christianity in Egypt. St. Mark is the nephew of Barnabas. And St. Mark accompanied them in the first missionary trip. But he didn't go all the way. He starts with them, and then at city called Pamphylia, he returned in camp. So when they decided to go on the second missionary trip, Barnabas wanted to take with him his nephew, St. Mark. But St. Paul saw that St. Mark is not committed enough. He's not reliable. I cannot rely on him. He left us enough from the middle of the first missionary trip. So St. Paul insisted, no, I cannot take him with me. And here a contention happened between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take St. Mark with him, Paul refused. So at the end, they separated from each other. And Paul took Silas, one of the two prophets who was sent by the Council of Jerusalem, and went on the second missionary trip. Then actually Barnabas took his nephew, Mark, and they went together into Cyprus. And it is said that during this time, St. Mark went to Egypt to preach Christianity. So actually, if Mark went to St. Paul in the second missionary trip, maybe he wouldn't go to Egypt. And here, that I want us to trust the wisdom of God. Even from our weakness, from our fighting together, from our dispute, from our conflict, as we read in the book of Judges, out of Peter came something to eat, and out of Peter came something sweet. That's how God works with us. Even from our weakness, God brings something good. So we see here how St. Mark went to Egypt. So this conflict, after it happened, God used it in order to send St. Mark to Egypt and preach Christianity in Egypt. But, of course, the Bible teaches us to reconcile and to have peace together. So this contention did not last forever. We read actually in the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, St. Paul said to Timothy, bring to Mark, because he is very useful for service and ministry. And he said about Mark, my son. So although at one moment St. Paul considered Mark as not reliable, but later on he said he is very useful for service. And Mark had two names right away, John Mark. You know, Mark was born in Lydia, a Gentile city. So people who were from Jewish background and born in a Gentile city, you used to have two names, a Jewish name and a Gentile name. Like for example, a person who was born in Egypt and then for his family from Egypt and they came here to America, maybe he would have an Egyptian name and one comes to him, he changes his name to American name. For example, maybe in Egypt his name was Tamir, so here they don't know what Tamir is, maybe he called himself Sam, you know? So, two names. Mark had the same way. He had a Jewish name which was John, but the Gentile name was Mark. The same for St. Paul. St. Paul, the Jewish name was Saul, named after King Saul, the first king of Israel, because he was from the tribe of Benjamin, and King Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. And the Jewish name was Paul. And because St. Paul was an apostle for the Gentiles, that's why he was known by Paul more than Saul, because he was an apostle for the Gentiles. That's why when you read John Mark and St. Mark. John is the Jewish name, and Mark is the Gentile name. So Barnabas took John Mark, and went to Cyprus and sent Paul to Silas, and actually after they take the support and the commendation from the prison council, went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the church. This is the summary of the hands of the chapter from verse 22 to verse 41, and let us start reading verse by verse and reflecting on it. Verse 22, Acts 15, verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send certain men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Namely, Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Simon, leading men among the brethren. As I told you, they wanted to send two prophets from Jerusalem to go with Paul and Barnabas. And they chose two from among the leaders, leading men. So they chose two from the leaders. And these two is Judas and Simon. So here we see that everybody agreed on the statement of Saint James, the head of the council. When the council met, they did not include actually the congregation with them. It was only among the apostles. But here actually in the letter we read the elders, it means the elders, the apostles, and the whole church. The apostles are like the bishops. Elders are the priests. But here, and where's the whole church? So apparently, although the church was not mentioned before, but now maybe the decision was submitted to the church and also was approved by the church. So the last thing for the letter that was sent, it was approved by the apostles, the priests, and also all the congregation. And they sent, as I told you, Judas and Barnabas. We don't know that much about Judas. Just we know that he was a prophet. Nothing mentioned about Judas, who was he. And he had another name, as I told you, many people had two names. So Judas had another name, which was called Barsabbas. And Silas, he was also a prophet, but because he accompanied St. Paul in his missionary trips, that's why we heard about him a lot. And Silas is the same Silvanus. So Silvanus or Silas are the same person. And here in front of you, there are many references where we can find other references for Silas. Verse 23. They wrote this letter by them, by the whole, by the apostle, elder, and the brethren. So here is the letter. The apostles, the elders, and the brethren. To the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greeting. As I told you, this dispute was in these cities, Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, among the Gentiles, how to receive them into a Christianity. So, here I want you to observe that the greeting does not come only from the Jews, does not come only from the apostles, but the greeting came from the apostles, the elders, and from the whole church. Verse 24. Since we have heard that some who went out from us, because as I told you, the Judaizers were Christian teachers, but from Jewish background. So here the church is sending as Jerusalem. So they are telling them some teachers came from Jerusalem, from the church in Jerusalem, and has troubled you with words. I'm settling your soul, making you doubt that you are Christian and doubt your salvation, while saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give no such command. Apparently, these Judaizers were saying to the people, this is the teaching of the apostles. St. James said so and so. St. Peter said so and so. So they were confused, because the Gentiles heard something from Paul and Barnabas, and heard something else from these false teachers. That's why they were troubled, that's why their souls were unstable. And this reminds me, many times, you know, some people say, the Jesus said so and so, the Pope said so and so, Abuna said so and so, without actually verifying the information. And many times, actually, this cause division and cause some problems. That's why it's better to not use any references unless you are very, very sure of what you are saying. And actually, the Lord told us to beware of the false teachers. The church is not kept from persecution. During the time of persecution, although many, maybe thousands of people were martyred, and hundreds of thousands of people were martyred, but the church did not fled because of it. But the church fled because of the false teachers from within. Actually, Marxism made the church strong, stronger, and made our faith to grow, and the believers to multiply and to increase. But the false teachers, like Arius, like Nestorius, divided the church. That's why the Lord said, beware of false teachers. Saint Paul suffered from the Judaizers, he knew much more than from the persecutors. They stoned him, if you saw the book of Acts, and he tried to kill him several times. And they made the bad mouth him, they made bad reputation about him. But he endured a lot from the Judaizers, from the false teachers. And when actually you read that and study the letter of St. Paul, you can see how he was grieved by all the attacks that he received from people who are Christians, should be supporting him, should be supporting his ministry, but they were attacking him and persecuting him. That's why beware of false teachers. Verse 25. It seems good to us, but yes, good to us, but in verse 28, it seems good to the Holy Spirit. So this decision is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It seems good to us, being a simple with one accord. Why? Because Jesus was in their midst. If two or three assemble in my name, I'll be in their midst. So, and this decision came with one accord. Everybody agreed on it. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send the chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. And again, maybe the false teacher, the Judaizers, was saying, no, this was not the resolution of the sinners. St. Paul and Barnabas fortified the resolution. That's why he sent two teachers or two prophets, leading them in the church of Jerusalem, in order to support Paul and Barnabas. And I want you to notice that they called Paul and Barnabas our beloved. Because as I told you, the Judaizers, they cut down them. So now the apostles are defending them. And we call them beloved. So the teaching of St. Paul and Barnabas is approved by the church of the apostles, by the apostles, by Ephesians and Jerusalem. And not only that, we not only call them beloved, but also in verse 26, they give them actually a very nice description. Men who have risked their life for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to our beloved. And also, they risked their life. They were willing to die. Actually, St. Paul in the first mentioned verse, he was stoned to death in their list. He stoned to death. And they thought that he died. And of course, when the apostles heard about this, they valued the ministry. These people risked their life for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which is the message is, you need to respect them, you need to honor them, you need to venerate them as your father. As your fathers who are willing to die in order to deliver the faith unchanging to you. So this praise in verse 26 is given to St. Paul and Barnabas, and actually the whole church at Jerusalem were praising these two apostles for their ministry and their willingness to die for the name of Christ. Verse 27, we have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same thing by word of mouth. So Paul and Barnabas have a letter, and Judas and Silas will report the same resolution or decree of the fellow by the word of mouth to support the letter. Verse 28, for it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So again, the Holy Spirit is very important, because this decision and the decision of the Holy in our council are the decisions inspired by the Holy Spirit. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They are saying the Judaizers want to put on you burden to be circumcised and to keep the law and to keep the purification and to give the sacrifices. You don't need all of it. Jesus actually fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf. Jesus came in order, as he said to John the Baptist, it we ought to fulfill all righteousness of the law. So we need to fulfill the righteousness of the law on our behalf. That's why in baptism, without doing anything, we became righteous. That's the righteousness of Christ. And St. Paul, in all his letters, was arguing and comparing between the righteousness that you get from the law and the righteousness that you get from Christ. And he said, if you keep the law without believing in Christ, you will never be righteous. That's why all the prophets in the Old Testament, they never reached this righteousness. That's why all of them, they went to hate. But it is the righteousness of Christ which we receive by faith. And we receive through channels called sacraments. You know, we become righteous. Tell me this little baby. After he is baptized, he's righteous. And we tell him why pardon to actually reveal his righteousness. Tell me, what did he do to be righteous? He did nothing. Actually, the faith. He did not sin or faith. But the faith of his care gave him righteous. That's the grace of God. That's why St. Paul said, by grace you are saved. It is the grace of God. This baby didn't do anything to be righteous, but it is the grace of God. And this grace comes to us through channels, and these channels are called the sacraments of the church. That's why, if we go back to the righteousness of the law, it's a burden. And it's written here in Acts chapter 15, even the Father, our Father, our Jewish father, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Isaiah, Daniel, all the prophets, they couldn't build this righteousness, and they could not fulfill this righteousness. So why we burden them? So he says, no. The Holy Spirit, it seems good to the Holy Spirit that we should not burden you, except four things that he told them he needs to keep. It is first in order of his necessity. And he told them he needs to abstain from four items. What are the four items? Actually, the four items here are four common customs of the Gentile world. And that's why it was very important to address these four items. Of course, there are many other commandments we need to keep. But these four things were very common among the Gentile world. That's why he highlighted these four things. What are the four things? Number one, verse 29. That you abstain from things offered to idols. That's number one. Abstain from things offered to idols. And actually, this doesn't mean to refrain from worshiping idols, but also to refrain from actually all the pollution of the system of idolatry, the system of worshiping the idol. To abstain from eating meat offered to idols, from offering human sacrifices to the idol, from all the practices that are done to the idol as part of the worship. And this practice involves drinking and people getting drunk and sexual immorality. They did all this during their worship of the idol. So when he told them, or he told them, you need to abstain from things offered to idols, they left all the pollution of the system of idolatry. Like as I told you, licentiousness and drunkenness received a sanction from religion. They were practiced during actually their worship of the idol. Number two, they told them from blood. Number three, from things sanctioned. And number four, from sexual immorality. So four things offered to the idol, from blood, from things sanctioned, and from sexual immorality. Why sexual immorality? Because actually chastity was the exception in the Gentile world. Sexual immorality was very, very common among the Gentile world. That's why they emphasized as children of God, you need to live as cheap, pure, clean, need to abstain from sexual immorality. Why also we told them don't eat anything strangled? Because in strangling the blood would retain in the flesh. And in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 14, and in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 16 and 23, God actually asked us not to drink blood because the blood has the salt. The salt of the animal is in the blood. The salt is in the blood. That's why the use of the blood was prohibited by the Mosaic law. And for this, they instructed them not to eat strangled animals and also not to drink blood. But also, there were some very, very bad practices among the Gentile world. For example, they used to drown the bird in wine and then use the flesh. And it was common thing to drink wine mingled with blood. That's why they instructed them to stop all these practices that were common in the world of the Gentiles. So, four things they told them you need to abstain from. Number one, things offered to the idol. Number two, blood. Number three, drinking blood. Number three, eating strangled. Things. Number four, from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. That's what you need to do. Farewell. Verse sense of the poor person, Barnabas, Paul, Judas, and Silas, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. They gave them the letter of the apostles. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now, the souls of the Gentiles at sea, before they were troubled, unsettled, they don't know what to do. Should we do this or we shouldn't do it? But now they received the letter, so now we have peace, and it caused actually great joy to the church. Simon always resolving the conflict, bringing joy and bringing peace to our hearts. Verse 52. Now Judas and Simon themselves being prophets. As I told you, these two were prophets. The gift of prophecy. Prophecy delivers message from God to the people. Priests deliver message from the people to God. The priest stands before God on behalf of people. The prophet stands before people, delivering message to them from God. God says to Elijah, go and speak to my people. God says to Jeremiah, go and speak to my people. So prophets deliver message. So Judas and Silas had the gift of prophecy. That's why it was very, very appropriate for both of them to exhort the people, to give them sermons, homilies, exhortations. So now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. So they not only read the letter, but also they preach and support them. Verse 53, and after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. The word brethren in the book of Acts means the believer. But all of us are brethren, brothers and sisters. So when we read the word brethren, it means believer. So after they finished their ministry there and their preaching and exhortation, especially as I told you that New Testament was not written yet, they wanted strength to go back to Jerusalem with greetings to the apostles, with gratitude and appreciation to the apostles that they attended to the conflict and they resolved this conflict. But actually, Silas chose to stay a little bit more in Antioch. As we read in verse 54, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. So Judas went back to Jerusalem, but Silas continued where in Antioch. He did not go back to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch. So now we have three of the four. Paul, Barnabas, and Silas in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others too. Apparently there were also many teachers, many priests there who are also serving the church in Antioch. We don't know how long they stayed there, but maybe they stayed for maybe almost a year after the first council in Jerusalem. Then verse 56 is the beginning of the second missionary trip. As I told you, the first missionary trip finished after the Council of Jerusalem, then the second missionary trip. Verse 56. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. This is actually the first of visitation. A Sunday school teacher needs a visitation. Don't rely on text message and email and just voice mail and just say, no, go and visit. Go and visit. The purpose of visitation to see how they are doing. It's very important to do visitation in person. We learn this from the apostles. Actually now, when we do visitation, we don't suffer as we suffer. They travel. And during the time there was no aeroplanes or cars, they travel actually either walking or on animals or ships. And one of the actually versions of that call in the ship, it was very, very, there was a big storm, and they were almost about to die. So if we compare what we do now in the education with what they did, it's nothing. And I wonder why many of us, as some school servants, we don't have education. And you don't have three continents like St. Paul to visit. St. Paul actually travels a lot between Europe and Egypt. You are visiting 10 students in the five in school. That's what we do. And in spite of this, we don't do it. I don't know why. Here we have to have this spirit of the apostle to do that education. If we care about our children, then actually we don't have peace in our heart unless we see how they are doing. And here St. Paul says, let us go back, visit our brethren in every city. In every city. I will not just gather them in one place and just ask. No, I will go to each city to ask about them. And then when we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Verse 57. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. And as I told you, Mark has two names, John and Mark. And he was the nephew of Saint Paul, Saint Barnabas. So Barnabas was his uncle. Verse 28, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them Mark, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia. In the first missionary trip, he did not go all the way with them. He went with them until Pamphylia, and then he said, no, I'm not going with them anymore. And had not gone with them to the world. Actually, you'll find this in Acts chapter 15, verse 15. In Acts 15, verse 15, that Mark had abandoned them on the first trip, and apparently his reason did not satisfy St. Paul. Whatever reason that Mark gave to St. Paul, that he had to go back to Jerusalem and live there, St. Paul was not satisfied. He thought that he's not reliable. I cannot rely on him. And actually, we should learn a lesson here. Seriousness and commitment is very, very important in service. If you are serving the Lord, you need to be committed. If you are serving the Lord, you need to be serious. You need to take serious. The ministry of the Lord should not be taken within the meaning. You need to be very serious, committed. So St. Paul decided that, no, I'm not going to break him. Apparently, neither Barnabas nor Paul compromised. They didn't learn how to yield. And so, because of this conflict, they actually separated from each other. As we read in verse 39, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Parted from one another. Sometimes when we see like two servants have a conflict, we perceive them as bad people. But actually, thanks be to God that it is written here in the Holy Scripture, the weakness of the apostles and the weakness of the prophets and all the saints. Not to justify our weakness and not to take our person seriously. No. I don't mean that. But actually to have compassion. When we see somebody in weakness, we should have compassion on him. And this doesn't mean he's bad. We have all of them are sins in the church. St. Mark, St. Paul, St. Barnabas, Silas. You know, we acknowledge all of them as great fathers and great apostles in the church. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. He went to Cyprus to visit the church again with Barnabas. And Silas, I don't know if he went to Jerusalem and then returned back to Antioch, or he was in Antioch all the time after he was sent by Jerusalem. But Paul saw Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And I think it was clear in the mind of the apostles they had to go two by two. And the Lord Jesus Christ sent the apostles, the 12 and the 72, two by two, to support one another. That's why St. Paul was looking for a companion, he took Silas, and Barnabas looked for a companion, he took Mark. And Paul and Silas being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Which means, I'm sure, a meeting in the church was held, and there was a prayer, and before they released them to their special mission, they were asking God and the grace of God to support them in the missionary trip, second mission trip. Then actually verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Apparently, there were churches in Syria and Cilicia, but we don't have any account who founded these churches. But we know that St. Paul labored and ministered in these areas, as we read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 21. So he started from Antioch to Syria and Cilicia, and then from chapter 15 we will see the rest of the missionary trip. Do you have any comments or questions about this?
Why didn't the letter deal with the problem of this issue that existed?
I didn't have
the letter from the council, it dealt with the problem of the Gentiles coming to Christianity. But why didn't it deal with the false teachers? It didn't talk about that.
Actually, it talked about some came from you, troubling you with things that I didn't think about. So that's dealing with the false teachers. Saying that his authority. Any other comments? Yes.
The Holy Spirit's involvement in councils, is there still a chance that even though there are bishops meeting, that whether it's local or ecumenical, that there still could be error? And I think of an example of Vatican II, for example, or, you know, other councils. Is there still a chance that out of human weakness, there could be error in the decision?
Definitely. If we resist the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, as it is, in actually the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, they believe in seven ecumenical councils, not three, but we believe in three. And there is a big dispute in the Council of Chalcedon. They believe it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but we believe it's not, you know, because it's the Sonship of Christ. So yes, if we resist and if we don't submit to the authority of the scripture and the authority of the teaching of the church father, then there will be an error. You're right. That's why in the first half of chapter 15, when they defended their opinion, Peter didn't say, you know, I believe so and so. That's my opinion. That's my personal opinion. But it's supported by verses from the scripture. So there was a reference here. And once there's a reference, a biblical reference, then actually, then the Bible is written in the Bible as Word says. That is the only guarantee that there is no error.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
I don't know how much your grace can tell us about it, but I've always been curious to know how Holy Synod meetings in the Catholic Church, how are they conducted? You know, in terms of, I've just always been curious. I don't know what your grace can tell us about that.
Most of our meetings deal with administrative stuff, not with theological issues. I'm saying not all of them. So there are separate committees, for example, committees for the rights of the church, committees for the parishes, committee for the pastorate here, committee for evangelism, committee for the first and the last immigration, etc. So, before the Holy Spirit meeting, each committee meet together and discuss the issues that we receive. For example, the committee of the ritual this year received many concerns about deacons, priests, and bishops wearing tunics that has icons and pictures on it. So, we received a question whether this is right or wrong. should we support this or we should not support it. Then they discussed, and they said, you know, that the symbolism of the cross is very important because Jesus carried our sins on the cross. So why we have two crosses, and in the front is big and in the back is small? Because in the front lies my sins. Behind is like the ignorances of others. So you see, what I'm doing is my sin, but what others are doing is the ignorance. So we get a recommendation to the Holy Synod that all the bishops, priests, and deacons should not wear any tunic with scripture. You know, it helps to have a cross in front, the big cross in front, and the small cross in the back. So they present the Holy Synod, then we discuss all the Holy Synod when we meet together, and we work on it, all of us who approve it. Then a resolution came. Let's have it. Yani, any other comments? So, by the way, deacons, if you have Sonia, Richard, or Abuna, of you, maybe you can give the response. There are some questions here about the shelter. First question. There are easy questions, and if you pay attention, you will be able to answer. What are the key points in that letter? In the letter that was written by the government. And I mean, it's simple. Yes, I think.
It's such an insult to Christianity without going to church.
But you have to abstain from?
Blood, cannibalism, sexual immorality, and self-offered
sacrifice. Very, very strange. Second question. How did the brethren in Antioch react to the letter?
They were happy.
They were happy because they were not present. And all the trouble and their unsettled soul, and this was people. Thank you very much. What did Judas and Silas do when they went to Antioch? These two things actually.
They talked to them about the letter.
Exactly.
And the second thing, they
said to the people there. Because he was prophet, they did exhortation and attention to the church. I cut it in there. This fourth question. What did St. Paul and Barnabas do for a while in Antioch?
They preached in the church and they
sent the church. Preaching and sent to the church. Thank you, Lord. What was Barnabas determined to do? And what did St. Paul insist? And why?
He wants to take some mark with him, but St. Paul insists not to take him. Why? The mark left them in the third step, in the middle of the first step. So, this is good. When the contention became strong between Barnabas and Paul, what did he do?
Yes. Right. So, Riva, Ehasa, Barnabas, Rahma, Amin. Barnabas took? Samar, and went to? See? What? That's very good. And then, Paul took? Judah? Paul took Judah?
No.
And took me? Silas. And then he went through the churches of Syria and Philippi. Very good. Glory be to God for your heart.